Number eight, biggest complaint that salespeople have, that customers have about salespeople. What would that be? What's the biggest complaint our customers have about us? Well, you're close. We talk too much. Right on. We talk too much. I mean, we talk. That's what we do for a living, right? We talk. We love to talk. We talk. Well, if we can hold back a little bit, what makes the difference between a salesperson and a consultant? And there's only one fine line between there. A salesperson shows and tells. A consultant ask questions, listens, get information, and then presents. That's the main difference right there. A consultant goes in and asks questions. I had one friend that was a sales rep, and he got laryngitis real, real bad. I mean, he couldn't even whisper. He had it so bad, but he didn't want to not go to work, not take care of his customers. So he couldn't talk. So he just had a little notepad and said, "I lost my voice, I can't talk." And so he didn't talk all week. Went out and sold all week, and he says, "The best week I ever had, and I never said a word." So there's proof right there that maybe we do talk too much. But there's a reason for it. You call a customer and say, "Hey, I think I got something for you, something you'd be interested in. You got a few minutes." So the buyer sits there and says, "Okay, what do you got?" And the pressure falls on us to talk. Well, see, at that point, you can change this deal right there and say, "Well, I do have a lot of things I'd like to tell you about. Would you mind if I ask you a few questions first?" And it's really that simple. And the first question you always want to ask, especially if you're on the phone with a new customer, is to have that little bit of respect for them and say, "Did I catch you at a bad time?" You know, that will take away all the resistance that you have. It will take away all that feeling of rejection if you ask that question. Let's go back to the airport. I'm standing in line waiting for these bunks to get taken care of. And let's say you call me on my cell phone. And you call up and you say, "Hey, Bob, I got something that would really be great for you. I think this will save you a lot of money." What am I going to do? I'm going to say, "Man, ain't you got nothing better doing to call me right now? Just click." That's what happened. But what if you call me up and says, "Hey, Bob, did I catch you at a bad time?" "You sure did, man. You sure did. I'm dealing with monks right now, and I can't talk to you, so call me back in 3 days. I'll be back in the office." See the difference? That will work. Somebody said, "Well, shouldn't you say, did I catch you at a good time?" No, because there never is a good time. But if you catch you at a bad time, they'll always respond either, "Yeah, it is a bad time," or, "Well, if it's a bad time, when should I call you back?" But have that. That's the best question. Another interesting thing, I was in Chicago, and my wife and I were driving for a long time, and we pulled into this mall, the shopping mall, and we were going to get out and ride around. And this was a long time ago, but still sticks right in my mind. Do you remember encyclopedias? Remember, probably everybody has a set in their attic or their grandparents' house or somewhere. There's a set. You know, these were the best trained salespeople on the planet, these encyclopedia sales. Once they got their foot in your door, you bought that encyclopedia set. Your child wouldn't have a chance in life unless they had that encyclopedia set. Of course, it never got open, but it sat there, but you bought it. Well, I'm in Chicago, and there it is in the middle. There's an encyclopedia set up. And I told my wife, I said, "Listen, I want to go ask this guy one question about something that I heard about, and I'll meet you in the bookstore here in about an hour, and you can go ahead and shop around a little." So I go up to the guy, and I got my buyer look. You know, I don't want to talk to you. I'm not interested in what you got. I'm just going to ask you one question, and that's it, buddy. So I go up, and I say, "I got one question for you, buddy. What's your price on this deal right here that you got?" He put his hand out. He said, "What kind of work do you do?" That was his answer. "What kind of work do you do?" I told him. He said, "Wow, that's something. Tell me more." 1 hour later, I'm sitting at a table that's up there with a contract in front of me, all made out, ready to sign for $1,000. And my wife comes back, and she sees me sitting there. She looks at that contract, and she says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I don't know." You know, how did that guy take me from there to there? He did it by cleverly asking questions. And some of the times when I ride with salespeople, they get so aggravated because the salespeople will go in, they'll talk and they'll talk and they'll talk, and you have to slow them down. I was in New Orleans here just a couple of months ago and riding with a guy down in the French Quarter. And golly, we were going into these customers and he just would just talk. A lot of it was just nonsense. It didn't even make sense. And I said, listen, I said, let's hold back and not say anything. Just don't say anything. I said, just let me handle it a couple times and we'll show you what to do. So we go in and we ask for the buyer and she said, no, he's not there. Well, I asked who she was. What is your role here? Are you one of the owners? She said, well, actually, yes, I am a silent partner here. I said, really? I said, wow. I said, you know, tell me about that. Tell me how you got into this. And she started talking. And we were there for 45 minutes. And we left with the credit app all filled out with everything. And we hardly talked at all. She did all the talking. I think that's the way to do it. That's how you do it. You go in there and you listen to them. And you show some real, real interest. Another question, I call it the history question, for lack of a better name. I had, at one time, the best job anybody could have in this whole industry. I lived in Orlando. I was a regional manager for a big national company, Wilson Food Service. And my area started in New Orleans, all through Georgia, all through Florida, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. I mean, could it get better than that? We were number one in the company, had 9 salespeople, and we were just singing. I mean, we were the best of the best. Everybody left us alone. And this was fantastic. Well, my boss calls me up one day, and he said, Bob, he says, we'd like to promote you, move you to Oklahoma City, make you our national sales manager. Well, to show you how smart I was, I took the job. And you know, if you ever go from a job where you have the complete freedom, like most all of you do, to an inside corporate office, it's the same thing as being incarcerated. It takes a while to learn how to breathe that corporate air. I mean, it is a tough transition. And one of my jobs was to sell these 7 big accounts that they were targeting. And so I get up there, I get moved in. It's about 2 weeks. My boss says, "Well, how you doing on those 7 accounts?" I said, "Well, I'm close." So I thought I'd better call him. So I called all 7 of them, and all 7 of them said, listen, the last thing we need on this planet is another vendor. So we got too many vendors already. We're just not interested in even seeing you. Don't waste your airfare coming here. Well, now what do you do? Man, they hired me to come up there and talk to these 7 customers, and they won't even see me. So my boss calls me up again. He says, how are you doing? I said, I'm getting there. I'm making progress. I'll get back to you. Meantime, I was having my exit plan ready. I said, how am I going to get out of here? I said, I can always go back and be a meat cutter at the supermarket, so I can always do that. And then I thought, well, I better give it one more chance. So I call them back again, and I said, listen, I'm doing some research for my company. And do you mind if I come in and we just spend a little time asking some questions, answering a few questions that I have? And they said, yeah, you can come in. I said, but we're not interested. So I went in, I made appointments, all 7 of them, flew all over the country, and I asked them this one question. And this wasn't a question, it caught them off guard. But I said, the last time you put on a supplier, what were the things that made you decide to put them on? Well, they told me everything that they, all the whole process they go through. You need to do this and this and this and this and this and this. And I said, well, if we do all this and this and this and this, is there a possibility that we could, well, he said, remote possibility. So I said, okay, so all 7 of them, I asked them that question. Last time you put on a vendor, what is the process that they went through? And I went back and I spent a couple of weeks making this dynamite presentation for each one of them. I went back and got their history, got everything, showed them how we could really help, how our products were far superior to anything they were using, pricing was better. And I went back and sold all 7 of them in 1 week. It added $30 million of new annual business to our company. All from that question. The last time you put on a vendor, what were the things that made you decide to put them on? Think about that. That was dumb luck. I mean, I grant you that was dumb luck. Just from that asking that one simple little question. So try it when you're going into a customer. You know, did I catch you at a bad time? No. I got a couple of minutes. Well, just want to get a little information from you. The last time you put on a vendor, what were some of the things that made you decide to go with them? And they'll tell you exactly what you need to do to sell them. I was like, here's a blueprint. You follow that blueprint, you can probably get a good chance of doing business with us. So that's the power of asking the right questions.